الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. In this ayat where Allah Ta'ala has made fasting compulsory, Allah starts off addressing the believers who are the friends of Allah Ta'ala. And it is really, this ayat is filled with love of Allah Ta'ala for His servant. Allah Ta'ala explains in a way of great love. Also from that we understand, ulama have explained, that the Quran Sharif is not a law book like other law books. Like, for example, the government of a country has the gazette laws, and they take out the government gazette where all the laws are written. But those are just laws. With Allah Ta'ala, every law is filled with love, with encouragement. And to save us, Allah Ta'ala has sounded warnings also. Many times we think that the warnings are also like, we take it very hard, we have to. But it is also the love of Allah. Those warnings are also filled with the love of Allah Ta'ala. Like, for example, we are going from here to Johannesburg, and there are protests carry on. Service protests, or there are speed traps. Somebody phones you and tells you there's a speed trap there. So he's telling you of something which is not, you like to speed. But it is His love for you that He's telling you. It is His kindness He's warning you. So all what Allah has warned us, that if you do this wrong, this will happen, that wrong, that will happen, that is also the great love of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is an absolute, infinite being. It wasn't necessary for Allah to inform us also. But Allah is perfect in every way. He informed us of everything. You do this wrong, this will happen. This wrong, that will happen. So Allah has informed us. So that is also the great love of Allah Ta'ala. And whatever Allah has commanded us, it is only with those things which are 100% through and through goodness for us. The basic what Allah has commanded us with Iman. Iman is only goodness, respect and honor for a person from a worldly point of view. Deeni point of view it is, but even from a worldly point of view. As an example, the Quran Sharif gives that for your needs, do you go to one person or you go to many people? What is easier for you? You go to one person. You make one happy and you don't have to go to everyone. So one Allah. Allah may save us. Allahu Akbar. In the belief of Tawheed, from bowing to trees, bowing to animals, bowing to snakes. People even worship snakes. Bowing through stones. And an idol which you make with your own hands. And then you go and bow in front of that idol. You take food and you put in front of that idol. The idol can't even let the flies who are sitting, can't make them go away. If some mice or rats come and eat that food, they can't chase them away. They can't do anything. Allah saved. And He who is all powerful, the greatest, in fact, in one hadith, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, when we complain of our some conditions, all conditions are from Allah Ta'ala. So as it comes that when we complain about this to other people, I'm having this problem, I'm going through this difficulty, that hardship, actually we are complaining of Allah Ta'ala. Because everything is from Allah Ta'ala. So Allah says, you are complaining about me who can do everything to somebody who can do nothing. The Tawheed, if Allah gives us Tawheed, the greatest honor is in Tawheed. And therefore, the value of Tawheed is so great. In the same way, material, worldly things also we can see. What was most important and necessarily, Allah made it freely available also, and free of charge. Oxygen, water, we can still stay away 12 hours, 15 hours, some places 20 hours. People are staying away from water, they're not drinking. Whole day they're not drinking water. food we are staying away, which are so basic and essential commodities, but we can stay away. But oxygen, for 1 minute, we can't stay away. And even if the oxygen is there, but our machinery to take the oxygen, our lungs, if they are not functioning, we can only pity Allah, protect us all from conditions, people who have lung conditions, asthma, what their conditions become, how difficult their life becomes. So Allah gave it to us. He gave us the oxygen also, and free of charge. Then Allah gave us our lungs, which can take in the oxygen. What namat of Allah. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the tawheed which He has given us, that was the greatest, most essential. Then what is most important after iman is namaz. And namaz also, Allah ta'ala, is only goodness for a person. Every action of namaz, just a few things at random. For example, if we take wudu, just a few points of wudu. One person, he used to join us, mashallah, and then he learned after joining us that when we put, this is not wudu, there is another aspect, that when you put oil on the head, you should first put it on the right eyebrow 3 times, and then on the left eyebrow 3 times, then you start applying oil on the head, massage, which is sunnah. And that is also one thing that all of us should try and do. Today, many people are suffering from migraine, headaches, etc., because we are not using oil. And the side effects of the sunnah, the side effects are so good. The real effects are so much more greater. But the side effects for our health, it is so good. So anyway, this brother, he started doing that, and he was one that used to suffer from migraine quite a bit. All his headaches vanished. And then he read an article in which it was said that if you do this, that removes headaches from a person. So we do it actually for sunnah, the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the side effect is so good. Whereas all medicines, side effects are so bad. But yet the side effects are so good. Everything, every other aspect. One American doctor saw a Pakistani making wudu. In the wudu, he made masa of the neck, which is mustahab. At the most, we can put it as sunnah. It's not a faraz of the wudu. So he asked him, why are you doing that? So he said, it's a sunnah of our wudu. This is how we have been taught. So then he asked him, in your country, Pakistan, how many med hospitals have you got? He said, very few. He said, it is a blessing of this. That because you are doing this, then you don't go mad, you don't go insane. And there are so many other things to save us also. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that when we make masa of the neck, all the tiredness of a person goes out with it. And we can understand these people who had that yaqeen. On one occasion, as Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained, he went with Maulana Ilyas to Mewat. They reached there in the afternoon, hot, and Mewat also very, very hot in summer, extremely hot. And then all the people started coming to meet Maulana. So Maulana Mufti Mahmood Sahib was the khadim. He told them, Maulana has just come. In that time, it was a journey from Delhi to Mewat. Not like today, how it is very easy. Roads are tarred, cars are so much more better. Those days, it was a real journey. For example, we used to have to go. For my mother was from Christiana, Kimberley side, and that was a whole day's journey. And it was about a month's preparation before time. Preparing, getting everything ordered. And today, at any time, you just decide to go. You search in your car and you go and you are there. But those days, so anyway, Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, when he got there, he was very tired also. And all the Mewatis, they had great respect and love for him. So they came to meet him. Mufti Sahib said, no, don't. You mustn't let him rest now. So Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, all these are things for us to learn all the time. They told him that you don't have the right to be hard on a person until he does not regard regard you with high esteem. He regards everything what you say with very great and high esteem. Until that time you are not allowed to be hard on a person. So this also teaches us, whenever we want to invite somebody towards deen, first win the love of that person. One time, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi was travelling by train, and a person's trouser was below his ankle, which is not right according to Shariat. It shouldn't be below the ankle, it should be above. So Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi told him that, lift up your trouser. So he said, why? So he said, according to the law of Shariat. So na'uzubillah, he swore Shariat. That what is Shariat, etc., Shariat, etc., Shariat, etc. Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi at that time said that from today I won't tell somebody something until I first know him, win his confidence, etc. Because this person was a son, now he has gone into kufr. By that. So it's very important when we call people towards deen also, the approach that we use. Otherwise we make them go further away. They say such words about deen, about the ulama. You are an alim, you're inviting him towards good, but your approach was a hard approach. So that person will swear you also, and he'll say something about the ulama. You have actually taken him from the frying pan into the fire. On one occasion, one person who afterwards was the Amir of Tabligh work in Karachi, in Makki Masjid, which was the Markaz first. But this person, the family also had close contact with Maulana Muhammad Ilyas rahmatullah alayh. And he used to come every Thursday night, Shab Guzari, which was on a Thursday night. But no beard he had. So after some time, after even friendship, it was there from before, with the family Maulana, any of the occasions, wedding, nikah, anything, they would invite Maulana. A person like that. And then again, on another level, again close contact with him. And then Maulana only said so much, putting his hand on his face and said, if sunnat comes here, how nice won't it be? That person got upset and he stopped coming. Maulana too went special again from Nizamuddin to Old Delhi. Was also a task. He had to go by ox wagon. And Maulana went and meet him there and told him, I won't tell you anything, but you start coming again. And somehow convinced him. And that time, Maulana said the sentence, which has got great value, ke uffo thande tawe par roti dal di. When you want to make your roti, and you put it on the tawa, the tawa, on which we make the roti, if it's still cold, and you put the raw flour, the roti, it's going to get stuck there. It's not going to make your roti. But if you make the tawa nice and hot, and now you put your roti, in about a minute, half a minute, you get a crispy, hot roti. And you put some ghee on it, what a delicious. And put some sugar and see how enjoyable it will be. So like that, whenever we want to invite somebody, first win the person's heart over. Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi says, anyone who becomes bay'at to me, before I worry of his islah, my first concern is, how can my love come in his heart? If he learns to love me, he's going to listen to everything I say. I won't even have to say. He'll be so keen, he'll see me as his role model. When he loves me so much, everything I want to do, I do. He will want to do it like that. I won't even have to tell him. And we find so many people, when we go by our elders, then we just change. We want to be like them. We start talking like them. We defend them. Everything we do. So this is that first stage. So this is very important, that love that has to be won over first with everyone. So anyone, Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayh told Mufti Mahmood Sahib rahmatullah alayh that we got no right to be hard on this people until they don't regard their roti equal to the food. That is, the food, the roti equal to the shoes of the person. In other words, they've got great regard. Then the house they had prepared for Maulana to rest was a build of stone. And in summer, it was an oven. Hot it was. How are you going to rest in that place? Anyway, Maulana went to his room, Mufti Mahmood Sahib, perhaps whatever, he got to get rest or something. But hardly any time, and he heard that Maulana was in namaz. After all that journey, all that heat, now he was in namaz. and making and crying to Allah Ta'ala. And this also, we'll just again mention a few other things as we are going. In fact, there will be lot of benefit for us. On one occasion, Maulana Abdullah Kapodri Rahmatullah Alayhi was the principal of Tarkeshar Madrasa. When Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi had come to Gujarat on one of his safars, giving bayans, calling people towards deen, etc. The house he was going to stay, he told the owner of the house, if you can arrange for me to sleep, to be in the room where Maulana Madani will be. So that person said, Maulana doesn't allow it. He wants to be alone. So he begged him. So he says, it will be very, very, if Maulana has to find out, it will be a very big problem. But anyway, he convinced him, and there was some arrangement behind the curtain, somewhere he could be there. So bayan took place at night, whatever time, summer, winter, after Maghrib, after Isha, meals took place, people came to meet, people used to come, lot for ta'weez to Maulana also, for mashura and advice. Roughly, we're just putting it now to get our time a bit in order. Say about 12 o'clock now, everything finished, Maulana went to his room now to sleep. And the other people who were with Maulana, now they also got ready. Somebody got a habit of tea at night, somebody got a habit of paan at night. They finished all their things to go and sleep also. And here Maulana came to his room, and he was one side, secluded, without Maulana knowing. He says, when the people now settled to sleep, Maulana was up already. And crying in his tahajjud in such a way, exactly as it comes that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua and cry in his tahajjud, like a kettle, a water kettle boiling, that sound that comes like that. So these people had all that deep concern, and this is how their lives were. Allah give us an iota of that. There was nothing like wasting of time. There was nothing like taking deen lightly. Dunya didn't matter to them. Today, unfortunately, our whole lifestyle, dunya is the thing. Everything revolves around dunya. Deen is one side. Qabr, akhirat, we don't really think of it. So anyway, this love of Allah Ta'ala, which Allah and the servants of Allah, they also have this great love for the creation. And Allah chooses such people, He chose to become Anbiya Ali Musallam. Those who had feeling for the creation. And today also, whoever has got feeling for the creation, Allah chooses them for the work of deen. And then Allah uses them, and people get saved from the fire of Jahannam. So this command of Allah is filled with love. That Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, in fact Allah is addressing the lovers of Allah, the beloved of Allah. Then next Allah Ta'ala made it easy, and Allah said, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Rozas have been made for us. Kutiba, according to Arabic grammar, fa'al majhul, not the direct active, the passive, that it has been made for us. Allah could have easily said, Katabtu alaykum as-siyam. I have made rozas farz. Farastu alaykum as-siyam. Alaykum as-siyam. Rozas are farz upon you. But Allah Ta'ala says, rozas have been made for us. Of course, who made rozas for us? It's from Allah. But Allah didn't use that direct approach. Because this love relationship with Allah, which a banda must have, a servant will feel that Allah loves me, but He has given me this very hard command of roza. Everyone loves his food generally. Roza is staying away from food. Everyone, when he's married, his wife is so dear to him in every way. But in roza, you can become intimate with your wife also, your halal wife. You paid so much for your walima, you paid so much meher, everything. But now in roza, she during the daytime of roza, she's not. So all this heart, so Allah Ta'ala said, rozas have been made for us. So we take it lightly, easily. Like for example, I usually give this example, commonly we find students of the first year when they come in study, they find it's too hard. Those students, they come and they say, we can't take it, we want to go home, we can't manage it, it's too hard for us. So we pacify them that so many other students before you, they are in Dora already. Now they have graduated already. And they were also of average IQ, intelligence. You also, how they managed, you'll also manage. So like that, Allah Ta'ala made it easy that rozas have been made for us upon you. It's not so difficult. You don't have to take it so hard that rozas have been made for us upon you. So that a person doesn't feel, Allah made it hard for me. That how could he give me such a command which was very difficult for me. So, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba alal-ladhina min qablikum. Just as it was made for us on the people before you also. You haven't been singled out with rozas. All the other ummahs, in fact, other ummahs have rozas, et roza, falan ukallim al-yawma insiya. Roza of not talking. If we had to be given a roza of not talking, how should we keep that roza? Our tongue, we just can't control the tongue. The lips, not eating, we still somehow manage. But not talking at all, that you're not allowed to talk. How should it be? So Allah Ta'ala says, all the other ummahs also had rozas. And you also got. So as they kept roza, you will keep, like that example of that student, as the other student studied and they are in Dora, they have graduated already, you will also go through the course. You will also manage it. So Allah made it more. First Allah spoke with love, O my beloved, O my lovers, that rozas have been made for us. And kama kutiba alalladhina min qablikum, as it was made for us on other nations also, you don't have to take it so hard on others also. La'allakum tattaqoon, the object and purpose of roza. Then again Allah says to make it even easier, ayyaman ma'dudat, a few days which you can just count easily. On your fingers we can count 30. When we read our tasbihat, 33 times we count on our fingers. So many things we can count on our fingers, this roza. And if we have to consider, really, it's already the third roza almost finished. How quick it is going. Our nature is, before Ramzan, how will it go? How will we manage, etc.? But before we know, we say already half Ramzan is gone. Three quarter Ramzan is gone. Really, Allah give us all tawfiq, that what have we done? Three rozas are gone almost, three tarawis are finished. How much have we gained? Don't see now that we still have to keep on. What have we achieved in this? And the water time is just going to go. It's not going to be staying with us. If we don't use time, it's not going to stay. How beautifully ulama have given an example. It is like a block of ice. A person who sells ice, he is very worried to sell because all the time it is melting. And if we have reality, our money also we have got, it's depreciating all the time. What we could do with 10,000 rand 10 years ago, today we can't do a tenth of it. Perhaps even much less you can't do with that amount of money today. So money is depreciating also. And our time also is just going all the time. So anyway, this few days we have to look after. And from there we get the lesson to look after our whole life also. If we learn to look after Ramadan, Allah will give us the tawfiq to look after the whole year and our whole life. Otherwise, it is common with us. Sport is an in thing. There's nothing wrong with sport. Many good. I just mentioned this one little incident also. Mufti Ibrahim Saligi, or if he's sitting on the beach, the Ahmed Barakatum explained, one pious person, genuinely pious, observing all the commands of Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala. But he used to watch TV, only news and sports. That's all. And we feel that's all right. To watch news is nothing wrong. To watch sports is nothing wrong. Only that. But the adverts that used to come in between, alcohol, pouring of the alcohol, it comes, you can't switch off and on again. It just comes and it goes. That, just that advert made him become an alcoholic. So dangerous it is. I'm only watching sports. We think sports is nothing wrong. But what is right in sports? What commonly we say, most of our friends who are so much into sports, what did sports give them? They themselves say, the broken legs, knees, backs which are broken, And especially Allah save us, our community generally, rugby is not within us, but are very dangerous. And many other, boxing, all these are dangerous. How many people in boxing, the one shot that landed on the head, that person was finished his whole life after that. Lot of all these things here. So sports, exercise is on its place. But it doesn't have to be the sport, and it doesn't have to be, and also, Allahu Akbar, going off quite a bit, but inshallah, one person asked a question that many ulama come on YouTube also now, and may come on TV also, yeah, in our country, ITV, etc. So he says that people are asking me that how many women now have gone into hijab also, or they wearing the scarf at least, they are making namaz also. So isn't it a good thing? And the orthodox ulama, so to say, the old-fashioned ulama, they just, in their normal, their way they do, and they don't reach out to the public also at large and that, and the people don't get deen. Where there's these people who come on YouTube, they come on ITV, on TV, etc., they reach out to so many more people. So Allah put this answer in my mind that the source that from where you are getting your deen, from the TV, from the YouTube, in which there is many haram things which take place. For example, women are watching the man also, which is totally haram. Everyone will admit it's not right to look. And though the man, who's the alim who's on the TV, he's not looking at the woman. He's there on TV, but the women are looking at him. And so life, if it will be, well, that same alim, if he is, he wants to, will he allow woman to look at him directly? Perhaps he will, perhaps, but perhaps he won't. That is wrong also. The photography, it is also wrong. Ulama have stated that there is no real difference of opinion, though some say the difference of opinion, some have passed it as permissible, but the photography also is haram. So the source, just like our ulama have said, that whose a deeni kitab you read of a bad person, whose character is bad, whose way of life is bad, though it's a deen's kitab, and though he has written everything right, but that effect is going to come into you. So this also, that which comes like that from that sources, then that effect will definitely come. It is possible the people have changed, coming to hijab, but for how long? That is also one thing. And with what idea have they come in hijab? Whether it's a correct intention and the correct way how deen has to come, which Allah Ta'ala, Allah was in control of everything. Allah could have been, TV could have been in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it could have been much more easier. Just another little example, again we diverting, round about the 60s or 50s, a Jamaat went to Japan for Tabligh Jamaat. When they went there, in those days, up to quite a long time after that, going into these countries, Europe, America, all these countries, there were no masjids. Now the Jamaat just goes directly to a masjid. They had to book in at a hotel or whatever, wherever they could, and then take the telephone directory. And what looks like a Muslim name, they would phone him and then make arrangements to meet him. And it would be in those countries, like with this Jamaat in Japan, traveling 600 kilometers in the one direction to meet one person. Perhaps you meet him, you don't meet him. Another 500 kilometers in another direction. And the whole 40 days used to be spent like this. Perhaps you meet 5-6 people in that whole 40 days. So somebody gave them an idea that if you appear on TV, then in 40 minutes, you'll reach the whole country. Muslims, non-Muslims, it looks very all, very good it looks like. So they, alhamdulillah, according to their principle, they said, we'll first find out from the Markaz. They wrote, the Markaz said, never ever do that. You just carry on in your way. This mujahada you are doing, though it seems to have no results outwardly, yet presently also, paddle jamaats that move. Amount of Allah's rahmat they draw, and the goodness that comes into being just a little bit away from there, after 94, when the whole transition took place in South Africa, and the world and we in South Africa, everyone was waiting for a bloodbath. What the conditions were, and how the transition took place was an impossibility. Without a drop of blood also, and the whole government changed everything. One person told me personally that Nelson Mandela was in England, and some party, political party and something, he also was present. And one person then went and asked him that how come in South Africa this transition took place without any bloodshed or anything. His words, Nelson Mandela's words, were the work the Badal Jamaats were doing. He says their effort and Allah brought this changes about. So all these things that draw the rahmat of Allah. So Badal Jamaat, they are plenty working now also, but who even notices them? Some other Jamaat come in which there are some professors or there are some doctors, we say very valuable Jamaat. But usually a Badal Jamaat, and if it's for poor people, from a poor area, nobody notices them. But what Allah's rahmat comes down on that. So just like that, the ulama who do work according to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that rahmat of Allah ta'ala which comes down, that is what changes hearts and brings people towards Deen. And through all these other modern ways that we use, it comes, but it comes with all the mixture of all those other modern ways also. It comes with all that mixture. So if we present Deen in the correct way, within the limits of Shariat, whichever way, by bayans, etc. And it's so easy to understand. We should give this example that our Darul Ulooms in our circles, as we knew, in India, Darul Ulooms in our Gujarat area, Dabel, Tarkeshwar, Rander, etc. All these Darul Ulooms, most probably many of the Ustad's whole life, they didn't even go for Hajj, they couldn't afford. They didn't leave the country, they didn't go beyond the borders of the country. And they might have been those that did not leave the borders of the province also. That is all where they stayed. But the way they taught, they sat on that place of theirs, they taught their students, perhaps 20, 15 students. But Allah made it, the phase of that went throughout the whole world. And if we think of it on a more broader line, Darul Ulum Dioban, where it was, it's not wasn't the Dioban of today. Just at that time, the Darul Ulum was out of the town. And it was the place where all the dirt of the town, used to come and be thrown there. That was the place where Darul Ulum Dioban was. And who would ever imagine that from here, Deen can spread in the world. But they did it in the correct line, in the humble way, which did not look like anything of how Deen is being spread today. But Allah Ta'ala and Darul Ulum is that one institute that has not only produced ulama, has produced Darul Ulooms. If we take, if somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I know, we have got Azhar in Egypt. What a great university. Medina University in Medina Sharif, they have produced ulama, but I didn't hear of another Azhar in the world, or another Medina University in the world. But another Dioban, many places people say there is another Dioban here. There is another Dioban here. Dioban was that it has spread like that. It has produced institutes in the world. So anyway, so this Deen comes like that. So all that we have, make effort for Deen, and do it in the correct way, and observe Deen in the correct way, and we are also, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali explained also, we are responsible to spread Deen only to the extent that we, how much Allah has made us responsible for. Beyond that we are not, and using the correct means. And this Mufti Taqi Sahib Damat Barakatum explains that Mufti Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri explained this. And beyond that, we are not responsible. And if we see the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he spread Deen, he used just the means that were available at that time, and where Deen spread. And if we really think, Deen went till Abyssinia. Maulana Ibrahim Rawat, Allah reward him, he has written, made research, and what a research also, Allah put in his heart, that how many Sahaba are of Africa. And it's surprising, round about 30 Sahaba who are from Africa, mostly from Abyssinia, then there may be some who are from Sudan or this areas here, one or two, but mainly Abyssinia. But in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and today if we, the Maghazi, the expeditions, that the jamaat that went out of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, going to Tabuk, Allahu Akbar, we can't, our mind, with all the modern technology and the tar roads and the highways and the cars with aircon and every comfort, today is a problem. How they did it. So Allah's help comes accordingly also. And Colonel Amiruddin, Rahmatullah Ali, who was a great worker in Jamaat work, he explained that the fuel for Deen is different from the fuel for other things. The fuel that you use here, and the example he gives, if you have got a jet plane that has to fly, you need jet fuel in there. Ordinary car fuel also is not going to work. It won't move. In your car, if you are using petrol and you put diesel, the car is not going to move. If it uses diesel and you put petrol, it's not going. So the jet also needs jet fuel. But he used to give the example, if you tie 8, 10, 12, 20 oxen to pull it, that jet, it will never ever take off. So this jet of Islam, the fuel of it is sacrifice. Mujahada, how much we make mujahada and how much we sacrifice, that is the fuel of this. And it flies on that. But it doesn't make sense to us. Our mind can't, it doesn't make sense. But if and here again, it is only what yaqeen of the heart that a person can accept. Otherwise, with the mind, a person can't understand this. And iman and Islam, iman has nothing to do really with the brain. It has got everything to do with the heart, that we just accept wholeheartedly. So Allah Ta'ala has made this roza farz for us, and in a most loving way, that ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum, believers, my friends, my lovers, those that I love, I've made rozas have been made farz upon you. And kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba alalladhina min qablikum, just as it was made on the people before, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And the la'al, perhaps, the la'al of Allah is a definite thing. That if you will keep your rozas, you worry of keeping rozas properly, you will get taqwa. And who have got taqwa, you have got everything. A person who has got taqwa, and alhamdulillah, we who come, iman is there, Allah gave us iman in the plate, in our home Allah gave us, even if we revert it and we accept it, Allah gave us iman in the plate. Now all we have to do to become the friends of Allah is to acquire taqwa. Then again Allah said, ayyam ma'duda, just a few days this roza. Just for 30 days keep this roza, and your whole year, that taqwa is going to pull you through. And your whole life, taqwa will pull you through. So this taqwa is the object of this fasting. And that is what we have to keep in mind. So the main thing is this taqwa. Taqwa, what is this taqwa? Ulama have given various explanations. Basically, to observe the commandments of Allah. Whatever Allah has made farad on us, to observe that, and to stay away from what Allah has made haram. Now, this taqwa is that noor that will make you do everything which Allah has commanded us. And it will protect you, it will save you from everything which Allah has made haram. So this is what the taqwa is. And that is what we have to acquire. An example of this, like you have a driver of a car, and the driver is a maniac. He doesn't observe any rules of the road. He's driving in a wild way. Speeding, taking sharp turns, and stopping at green robots, and speeding through red robots. how long will he last also? And if you are with such a driver, you know how dangerous it is. So in our body, if the nafs is that driver, he is that maniac. Nafs wants everything evil. Nafs wants everything bad. All the wrong things, all the dirt and filth in our body. Our children, when they are small, very small still, whatever they see in the mouth, how the mothers have to control them. Dirt, that filth also they put in their mouth. Sometimes things is shining glass, broken pieces of glass, they go and put in their mouth. Sometimes, you know, the old coal stoves, when it used to become hot and the plate becomes red, then the red color is very attractive to children. There are those little children who went and put their hand on that if the mother wasn't alert enough. And they went and catch. So when this nafs is like that, going for all the bad things, all this effort of what we're trying to do for ourselves and for all, is that to put the ruh in control. The ruh, once it comes in control, is that very sober, very matured, very responsible driver. That will drive, and you'll feel completely, you'll fall asleep in that, when he's driving also. You'll be totally comfortable. You'll have itminan, no worry whatsoever. So that is putting the ruh in charge of the body. And that is what is the taqwa. If we take it from a medical point of view, this example, when the nafs is in charge, it is like a person who has got he's a diabetic also, his cholesterol is also very high, his blood pressure also is very high. Everything, he's got kidney problems, he's got lung problems, he's got heart problems. What kind of a life? Eh? That person all the time, he's restless, he's in pain. What a difficult life. And if the ruh is in charge, that everything is in order. That same person who had all the diseases, and if he could get to a hospital or some place facility where in 30 days they treated him, and now all those diseases are gone. Now no more he is having all that. He was on alcohol, that is gone. He was on drugs, that is gone. He was a chain smoker, that is gone. All the bad is gone. What to say? So this is really what this taqwa is. And rozas are there to give it. And so we've got the rozas. And then it's the month of Ramadan. Rozas in the month of Ramadan. Rozas themselves are very valuable in the month of Ramadan. And then Allah gave us the opportunity through the barakat of our mashayikh that we are making this effort all together. And this also, if we analyze it, some friends were saying that when we were young, how is it we never knew about all these things? About like what is the tasawwuf, what is the love of Allah, we never heard. And forget young, till our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali came, and that was about 89, the first time Hazrat came to our country. Till then, we were also, well, what we call, we went to Darul Ulooms, we stayed there, whatever. Where we call ourselves alims, but where? You can't even call us anywhere for what an alim is. All those things, but we didn't even know that there is a thing like the love of Allah, of Allah, of Allah. By the way, perhaps we, but not like highlighted. And when Hazrat came, now we came to know. Many other things also. When Hazrat came, like looking at strange woman, it was just taken like you look, and a person perhaps doesn't look with lust, but not that it is haram or anything. Hazrat highlighted all this, so many other things. So like that, alhamdulillah, with these programs we have, how many things now we take for granted. We don't take it that it is a result of these programs and what we are listening to and all the efforts our elders made on us. We don't take it as that. We just take it for granted. But really, if we analyze, and especially those who are perhaps at the age of 50, 60, when we were 20, 30, these things, we never knew about all these things. even till the age of 40. So this is that grace that Allah brought us into this environment. And everywhere else in the world also, wherever such environments are created, if there wasn't this environment, and for everyone, even the speaker, those who are doing the programs, the most effect it has is on that person who is doing that program. And the greatest, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, that whatever weakness I find in myself, I speak on that. And not one, two times, how many times you have to speak, then hopefully some effect comes in a person. And the effect of this is like a drop of water falling on the ground. Eventually it makes a hole. Water is so soft, but continuously falling there, it will make a hole in that rock also. In that concrete also, it makes a hole in the hole in there. So the words of Allah, when we will continuously speaking, it's going to have the effect. And also Allah Ta'ala's mercy and kindness is so unlimited that when we all came here, and inshallah we again correct our niyat for our islah, we came to get connected with Allah, to bring deen into our lives in reality, not only in the outward form, which is also very good. Tere mehboob ke ya rab shabahat leke aaya hu. Khaja Aziz ul Hasan sahab rahmatullah ali says, oh Allah, I've come with the outward form of your beloved. I could do topi, amama, kurta, beard. I could do the outward. Tu isko haqeeqat kar de, main surat leke aaya hu. I only came with the outward form. You bring the, make the reality. The magicians in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, ulama have written, one major reason why Allah Ta'ala changed them, not overnight, in a split second they changed. Why? Because they made their outward form like that of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And that also they did it like in a mocking way. But they just made, Allah loves that form of the Anbiya and Sayyidul Anbiya. How Allah loves His way. So we adopt this sunnah, but it doesn't stop there. But also, don't underestimate it. It's a great, great, great thing. Even just the outward sunnah, because Allah loves everything of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Animals that will be in Jannah amongst other animals, the animals of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, his camel. And just because of association with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be in Jannah also. So everything that is associated with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah loves it immensely. And alhamdulillah, to make progress to reach Allah, perhaps there is no other way more better than the sunnah. That if you follow sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you become the beloved. إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. On that Allah will love you. ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم. Allah will forgive your gunas also on that. So the sunnahs are very, very great. So anyway, we try the outward form like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah bless us with the inside qualities also. And we should go towards that also. Not only be satisfied with the outside, but and not underestimate it also on the other side. Appreciate it very greatly, and try and bring the reality also. So on all this, Allah Ta'ala will bless us with that taqwa. And then our lives will have changed. So if we spend our month of Ramadan correctly, 2 days, 3 days almost are gone already. Again, du'as also, effort also is required, du'as also are required. Make full efforts also. And in this month, as inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq, we'll try to explain, rozas, which we just have to stay away from some permissible things. And when we are staying away from permissible, stay away from haram also. Backbiting, all the looking down upon somebody, all the other things we will discuss. Stay away from that also. Our rozas, make it a roza. Make it a fast, not a feast also, that we overeat at Sehri and Iftari. Not also a hunger strike we are going on, but a fast which is called a fast in Sharia. Namaz is not just a matter of going up and down. Namaz is a reality also. Hajj is a reality also. And Hajj, it's not a matter of just going Arafat, Mina, Muzdalifah. If it was just that matter, we can go now. No crowd whatsoever. And with ease we can make the ibadat of Arafat. And Muzdalifah, what beautiful ibadat we can make. But that is not Hajj. Hajj is in those days when which Allah has prescribed. In those days is Hajj. Hajj is not now. Or any time. So all the ibadat is as Allah. We make that ibadat, the ibadat will make us. We make that ibadat and ibadat. And that ibadat will make our lives. Again, the side effect of that ibadat. Ibadat again is solely for the pleasure of Allah. But the side effect, our dunya's life will also be made. And we will become like angels in the house. The wife will want us. The husband will want the wife. Parents will look at their children, qurratul ayn. They are the coolness of our eyes. Children will look at their parents, that can't be anybody better than this. All that is in this month Allah has given us. And Allah has brought us, may Allah give us all tawfiq to appreciate this great month. Realize the value and what we have to be doing. May Allah give us tawfiq to do that. And we move. Ramadan is not a burden. Ramadan is not like that. One for us, we have to do it. What can I do? It's a gift from Allah. It's a pleasure to observe the month of Ramadan. All the ibadat of Allah. So Allah has given it, and there are great, great benefits for us in our deen, our dunya, our akhirah. May Allah let us observe it correctly and get the full benefit of it. Wa akhiru da'wana.